Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Welcome to College Football Roundtable. Your source for college football coverage, including major storylines, playoffs, and can't miss game previews and picks each week. College Football Roundtable brought to you by Eyes for Football.
Welcome back. It is week one, if you can believe it. College football is back. We said that last week, but like now we're really back because people will actually start paying attention. You know, college football is like election cycle in the summertime. Nobody's paying attention to it. And then like a month before it's time to go vote, then people start paying attention to the issues, I think. But you can tell that the networks don't even care about week zero. No pregame shows, no big noon kickoff, no college football game day. It basically was like, hey, here's the also-rans. Here's an overnight crew for college football, and then we'll go into the games. It was kind of disappointing, actually, to look at the level of or the lack of focus in there. But week zero is now in the books. The hot seat is warming up for some and cooling off for others. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you want to, you can call us Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. And Trigger Joe is calling from the home of the big house. Gentlemen, week one. How you guys feeling? What are your thoughts? We'll start with Joe and end up with Dan. Thanks.
Oh man, as far as the week went, finished up registering three kids at three new schools and got to catch a little football. But I thought North Dakota State looked great in their FBS debut, absolutely handling business. I will say that week zero did feel like that appetizer you were waiting for, and then when it got there, it was cold, and maybe the waiter had a bad attitude.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because TCU and North Carolina were underwhelming in a slop-filled mess that everyone picked wrong. Also, I'm sure Omar wasn't in love with the performance by Davis Warren on Saturday since he picked against him. But I think he heard us talking about him, so he decided to hang up 300 yards. now, I know it was against Hawaii, but I watched that kid for a full season not hit 200. So he's obviously been working on his game, and former walk-on cancer survivor, it's kind of hard not to root for him. You know, I like the guy. He's also 1-0 play in games played against national champions, so not bad, right?
Yeah, true statement, true statement. Dana, how about you?
Yeah, crazy week for me, too. A different, very different way. You know, no kids registered for no schools, but, man, once football season rolls around, it's just all the time. You know, James and I talked for 90 minutes on Sunday just about AFF stuff. Omar sent me this thing. Oh, by the way, here's an article for Monday on Friday. It's So I'm like in it now. I got to say, I liked about half of that Ireland game, but by the time halftime rolled around, I'm like, why did we send these teams overseas to play in the rain in 50 degree weather when they've been practicing in North Carolina and Texas
for
2 months? Like, This is not a recipe for good football. And I stand by my complaint about Memphis at UNLV. Electric game, and they buried it. So thanks for that.
For sure. You know, one of the things that I found interesting, and it was actually one of the topic questions that I asked, like, hey, do you want us to talk about this? Like international football games, right? And I was about And by 2 percentage points, we got the topic that we have this week on the socials. But the reality of it is like, I don't know if I want an international college football game. I mean, like for the pros, it's a little bit different because their stadiums are a little, you know, a little bit more ruggedized and these guys are professional athletes. But like you have to like think about school and transportation and all that other stuff. And, you know, so far this year's week zero game in Ireland, if it would have been like last year's week zero game with Iowa State and Kansas State, then it would have been like an electric start to the season. But, you know, it was kind of lackluster.
Do you remember Amani Toomer?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what he said when Harbaugh had that tough run against Urban in the beginning? He said, man, I don't care where you're taking the team in the offseason. There's a bunch of animals in Columbus clanging and banging weights at 4 a.m. to break your heart at the end of the year. And you're talking about what country you're going to go to? Man, I don't want to hear that stuff. Like, he was pretty adamant against it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's something to be said about international branding, but you know, trying to make American football across the world, not going to ever happen.
No.
But speaking of not going to ever happen, I know somebody that's not going to ever happen to have a bad day when they're dealing with you helping to find your next house. So if you have listened to the show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line, class of 2010, served as an Army logistics officer where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to you and helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service and ensures a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors across the country ready to support you no matter where your next PCS takes you. Whether you're relocating locally or across the nation, Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost and will connect you to a professional of integrity in any market. As a proud sponsor of Ask for Football, this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you into your new home. Reach out today and let her make your next move effortless. Dano, over to you for the Service Academy recap. Thanks.
Oh, there's nothing to recap because it is week one, so no change from last week. Army host Bryant starting at noon on CBS Sports. That is your first game of the day. Then you've got Air Force hosting Duquesne at 1 p.m. I guess it's 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
1 p.m. Mountain time. So, yeah, so I'm a little confused there. Not sure what that means for the Eastern time zone. But at any rate, they're on the Mountain West Plus, so ain't nobody going to see them. And you got Navy hosting Towson starting at 3:30 on CBS Sports. So, good day of Service Academy football on CBS Sports and pay-per-view for those of you who do the Air Force thing. Merchant Marine at Montclair State starts at 5 p.m. I don't have is that on the Plus? Do we know?
Yeah, I believe it's on the Plus.
Okay. And University of New England at Coast Guard starting at noon Eastern time. I didn't even know we had a new University of New England. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And again, I think there's also like if you go to the respective websites for both of those schools, they have like a link that you can click on that'll bring you to the games because they are Division III. Because they're Division III, they don't get as much TV time as they probably should because they play some good football at the Merchant Marine Academy and Coast Guard. But speaking of good football teams, we'll talk about the top 10. Joe, over to you.
Oh, I'm going to sound a little repetitive here, gents, because none of these teams played last week. And but at least we, like I said, we got through that appetizer. So we get to see a little bit of football throughout the top 10 as the Buckeyes come in at number one. Of course, kick things off against Ball State at 12:30. They're 51-point favorites. That line may have moved a little bit. Then Oregon at number two, they kick things off at home against Boise State, where they are 24.5-point favorites. I might like that for one of my picks to cover, depending on what Boise State has coming back on offense. But at number three, we got the Bulldogs of Georgia. They go up against Tennessee State in a tune-up game where they're 48-point favorites. Notre Dame at number four, the Irish actually opened their season with an interesting matchup at home against Wisconsin. Notre Dame's a 3-touchdown favorite. It's a night game in South Bend, so should be a fun one to at least watch at night. Then number five, we got Texas. The Longhorns get things going with a little in-state rivalry against Texas State, where they are 30.5-point favorites with a very odd 60.5-point over-under. Now, if that's moved a little bit in the last couple of days, I apologize, but I guess Vegas thinks there's going to be 100 points scored in that game. But then we got Indiana at number six. The defending national champion Hoosiers get it going with the Mean Green of North Texas, where they are 41-point home favorites. And then an interesting one. We got at number seven, we got Miami. The Hurricanes travel to Stanford, who just looked pretty good on offense against Hawaii, for a night game where Stanford is 24.5-point home dogs. Could this be a trap game? Depends on what kind of Stanford team plays Saturday. If they can move the ball, they had a pretty balanced run and pass game. They had a 100-yard rusher for 3 TDs and Micah Ford, and then Davis Warren lit it up in the air. So if they can do any of that against Miami, it's going to be hard to cover that number. At number eight, we got Texas A&M. The Aggies start with a tune-up game against Missouri State with their 41-point favorites. That's also a night game. And number nine, we got Ole Miss. Without question, they have the most intriguing matchup in the top 10 where they have number 24 Louisville. Ole Miss is only a touchdown favorite. That game also is a night game, but it's on Sunday night. At number 10, we got Oklahoma. The Sooners get their things going with UTEP, where they're 42-point favorites. And like I said earlier, poor UTEP, man. They got to play Michigan and Oklahoma in the same month.
Yeah, that's a rough start to the season for sure.
It's getting paid, though. That is how you fund your athletic program.
Yeah, that's that is a true statement. That's how you bring in some of those extra NIL players. If you're going to do it, you got to make the money. No top 25 upsets, of course. There are no ranked matchups. Last year, we had 46 upsets during the AP poll during the top during the 2025 season. That number includes playoff losses and 37 during the regular season. But like the closer that number is to 40, the crazier the season has been. And like no one in the top five is safe. And we know that because we'll see some shifting and moving after week one. I think depending on how they perform, if Notre Dame lays an egg, they may fall out of the top 10. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of some of the sports writers because these dudes are high on Notre Dame already all of a sudden. And I don't know why. I really don't like
it pays to, because Notre Dame gets eyeballs. If you write about Notre Dame, you're going to get people watching your stuff, reading your stuff. That is why
they have the biggest worldly following. So
yes,
when you pander to that audience just a little bit, and I'm not saying it's BS, but when you tickle their fancy a little bit, you get more viewers.
Yeah, but dude, you got to get the sponsors. You got to get the eyeballs. It's a business.
I understand. It doesn't
take a crap on Notre Dame on TV. It doesn't.
I understand that it's a business decision, man. But like, if you work for ESPN, why? Right? They're not even in your network.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could be an honest broker. They're not even on your network. That's just my
point. I'd be fired really, really quick for taking shots at Notre Dame. They'd be like, "Look, you got to stop." And I'm like, "No, you don't know what I grew up." Not for anything.
That's fair. And speaking of people that need to be shamed publicly, let's get to the Blue Falcon of the week.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
I'm scraping for the bottom of the barrel here again because we had such a small slate. But how about our first fan base getting a Blue Falcon Award? I'm a little salty with the TCU faithful after what I watched on Saturday across the pond. I heard everything from dark horse to win the Big 12 to future NFL quarterback Jaden Craig, only to regurgitate some of that same hype with my pick and then watch them get smacked around by the 4-8 fighting Belichicks of North Carolina.
All right. I got to defend Bill Belichick. He's been with that girl for a year now, and I just wonder if some of the shine hasn't wore off and he got more interested in football again. I'll let you go on. Sorry for interrupting.
Could you imagine Belichick having that conversation? Yeah, you know, I'm just not having as much fun as I was before. I'm going to focus a little more on football.
Yeah, going back to the office.
That's the end of the conversation. Right? When he drafted Brady, yeah, we drafted you in the sixth round. We might play you. So we'll see you Monday. some of his players doing Belichick impressions is hilarious, but they also, North Carolina looked like the more physically dominant team and were pushing the Horned Frogs around. And look, I'm not even mad, but from the fan base that smacked Michigan just a few short years ago in the playoffs, I am a little disappointed. Moreover, I'm concerned about our fellow TCU fans today, because not only did they travel a long way to receive a pretty embarrassing international L, but here we are Monday and they've got to stop by and get a Blue Falcon Award. I sincerely hope things get better for the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, I think that was interesting. And going back to quarterback play, like TCU's quarterback is super athletic. Like the kid transferred in from Harvard. He looks good, right? Like he's very, very athletic, but I also think that his arm got him in trouble, right? Because he was trying to make plays with his arms rather than running. And he had some clear rush lanes that he could have taken off. And Joe and I talked about it earlier. Like, hey man, look, I'm not expecting you to be like Randall Cunningham or, you know, anybody prolific runner. Like we don't expect you to be Mike Vick, right? We don't expect you to take off and run for 60. But you can run for 4 or 5 and then dip out of the sideline. You know what I mean? And I think he missed quite a few of those opportunities. He's going to go back and watch those on tape. And those probably could have been some game-changing moments for him.
We should make that a topic one day about how that has affected athletic quarterbacks. Because I guarantee you, it really does get in their head, like, don't run every time. Don't run every time. They're just going to say you're an athlete. Like, I guarantee it gets in those kids' heads that they, like, he wants to prove he's a quarterback because he knows he can run. You know, and it's like sometimes, bro, just trust what got you there, man. Take off.
Do what got you to the show, right? Speaking of doing what gets you to the show, let's talk about that hold my beer moment of the week.
I drank the beer.
All right, this guy I previously mentioned, and I truly feel like he deserves the award on several levels, because when the team said we don't have any scholarships, but you can walk on, and when my brilliant sports writer and co-worker Omar says there are dark days ahead for Stanford University because you're their starting quarterback, hell, when the doctor says you have cancer, Davis Warren, I believe we are all long overdue for saying you absolutely respond with hold my beer, watch this. That's right. Former QB of Michigan, the Buckeye Slayer, the Bleach Blonde Bomber. I'm just making up nicknames at this point. James Warren took to the skies on Saturday night in Stanford, California, throwing for 310 yards and a tutty on 22 completions and rushed for 30-plus yards in a 37-27 victory over Hawaii. Am I overreacting by one game? No. This is for every time he was called Michigan's worst starting quarterback ever and all the negatives I've heard about this kid's ability over the years. And he just shows up and wins football games for the most part. Davis Warren, you earned it, buddy. Your performance definitely was the hold my beer moment this week.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I think that was impressive. I think a lot of people expected, you know, Stanford to lay an egg coming out this week. And it's interesting because unique situation out there with the general manager, you know, with Andrew Luck kind of doing his thing and all that other stuff. And like, I think it's merited because the way that the game is going, that you're probably going to need somebody in the front office to kind of manage the ship. But I think it's an experiment that everybody's watching, and to watch a performance like that from Davis Warren actually give some validity to what they're doing in Stanford, right? Yeah. Holy cow. Like maybe Andrew Luck is on to something. More to follow, I guess. We'll have to watch the rest of the season. I don't think
they're giving up on going back to being the Stanford of Christian McCaffrey and Jim Harbaugh. I don't think they've given up their shot on it yet. And I think they might have something that makes them a little more competitive year for the next few years. And look, yeah.
It doesn't, just on its face, it doesn't seem like selling Stanford would be all that difficult. Maybe. Yeah. There's some real academic challenges there. I mean, you do have to get kids with brains that will go to school, but bro, I mean, it's Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're walking out there with a pretty good pedigree. And oh, yeah. By the way, if you perform, you've got just as good a chance as McCaffrey to end up in the league. Right. So for sure. I think that's.
Yeah. Stanford's got a good name in the NFL.
Yeah. 100%. All right. So speaking of people that may be looking for new jobs because they don't have a good name at all, we got the coaching hot seat. And I really like this graphic. It took me a little bit to build it right because, again, you know, sometimes you get wrong answers and so you have to readdress them. But these are essentially the top 10 guys that are – their seats are on fire. Notice the Scoville rating. I thought that was kind of funny underneath. But we'll just hit the top five real quick and then get everybody's thoughts. So Mike Norvell, do we think that Mike Norvell is not in trouble? I mean, given the way that – I think the single greatest move of the college football playoff committee, and I don't want to give them too much credit, was keeping the 13-0 Florida State out of the playoff a few years ago. Oof. Because the epic collapse of that program after that season is very, very telling, and it's sad. And like his seat's on fire, you know, Dave Doran out of NC State, he's probably in trouble now too, because like you've got an athlete like CJ Bailey and he did not look good at all this weekend. He started out looking strong. And it looked like there's something going on with his throws. Like a lot of them were low and to the outside, like instead of throwing like back shoulder or something like that. So maybe it's a mechanical issue. Maybe there's an injury that was undisclosed, but he did not look like the CJ Bailey that we saw that was like upsetting people the second half of the season last year. Dave Aranda at Baylor, like that's another one of those guys that like he's at the top of the short list to get the axe. Luke Fickell, I mean, left Cincinnati, goes to Wisconsin, you know, thinking that like, I don't know, was that a lateral move or an upward move? I mean, time being what it is, like my man's 17-21 in three seasons.
Hasn't worked out for Cincinnati or Wisconsin so far.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Mike Locksley, who is, you know, he's 37-49 in Maryland. And I mean, that's a tough job regardless, right? Because if you're in the Big Ten and you're not in like the middle of the conference, like you're going to struggle. And then, of course, the guys on the bottom are very familiar. The only one that like I would talk about for sure is Lincoln Riley. I think his days are numbered as well. But two questions that I got to ask you guys, and then we'll go around the horn really quick is, well, you know, is Bill Belichick safe? I mean, last year they had a great drive in the opening part of the game, and then the whole season fell apart. They got a win this time. Are they going to be consistent? And then I think, you know, my opinion, UNC is 9 wins and a conference championship away before people are happy with Belichick, to be honest. And then who's not on – of the people that are pictured, who's not on here that we should be concerned about? We'll pass it to Dano and then over to Joe. Thanks.
Oh, wow. So I have to pick somebody who's not on here, who's on the hot seat?
Your opinion.
All right. So I think Belichick helped himself quite a bit. That's a big win on national TV, man. We'll see what he does. But for now, if you're a North Carolina fan, you just got to let him cook. On the list, I got to vote for Shane Beamer at South Carolina. You know, he's gone 7-6, 8-5, 5-7, 9-4, and then last year went 4-8. So they're up and down basically every other year.
Yeah.
And having gone 4-8, if they finish under 500 this year, he's screwed. If they're over 500, yeah, maybe not. South Carolina is another tough job because you're competing with Georgia and Tennessee and, you know, Alabama and places where they put 100,000 people in the stands every week. And I don't know if that's happening in South Carolina. And Luke Fickle, man, 9-15 over the last two seasons. He's never finished better than 7-6. Yikes.
Yeah. No, that's rough.
Well, that is rough. He's in a tough spot, but that's like Wisconsin is Wisconsin. Like, what are they doing right now?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If Wisconsin doesn't have like a 5-star running back in the backfield, there's something wrong. Guess what? We haven't seen. We haven't seen a Melvin Gordon coming out of Wisconsin in years. Right.
You know, and that is what you think of that identity, right? They're going to have a good O-line and a good running back. And, you know, maybe they don't win 10 games, but that's a tough out every week. And
yeah,
I don't know if that's what we've seen. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think that, you know, one of the things that's common with a lot of these coaches that are struggling is the recruiting population that they're going against. Right. Mm. Because like if you're coaching at the University of Maryland now, with the expansion of the Big Ten, I've got USC, UCLA, and then the blue bloods traditional of the Big Ten that I have to recruit against. And so it's tough. Like, I mean, make no mistake, their performance is what it is, but you also know that the Big Ten has put more money into college football, you know, than just about any other conference. Joe,
that's why it's so tough to be with. Hold on. That's why it's so tough to be Wisconsin, because you're sitting there trying to go up against Michigan and Ohio State, and that's limitless buckets of money. I mean, you know, that's an endless. Anyway, I'll shut up.
No, you're good.
Touch on what Dano was saying. When Michigan went into the dark ages, you know, we had some friends that were friends of the program that were that. If you remember, Mitch McGarry played at Michigan in basketball. It was friends of his family, and they said, what is the problem with Michigan right now? And they said, those 6'6" left tackles that play 20 years in the NFL, they're going to Wisconsin and Penn State. And then the ones that are going to Ohio State are going to Ohio State, and Michigan's getting shut out. And if you remember when Michigan was bad, it was the days of Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor, boom, boom, boom. They just kept shooting them out. And it was, they were putting two linemen in the first two rounds every year too. Yeah. And they stopped doing that. And you'll love this quote, you comment, but you lose your line. It doesn't matter what your skill players are doing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And that's one of the things. And I think that's one of the underpinnings why some of these guys haven't been fired, is because they're giving them a chance to figure out the new recruiting with NIL. Yeah. Right. I think a coach that got hired 5 years ago is, you know, more likely to get canned this year because like all the eligibility stuff and everything being what it is. Now they're to the point where like we kind of have some clarity of what name, image, and likeness is going to look like. So now, you know, the boo birds have been out for a while, because if you don't win 10 games in college football, you're a pariah. But, you know, but you're getting to the point where now you have to put the work in, and because quite frankly, the boosters and the donors are making it happen financially. Right. So there's no excuse for you not to be able to field the team. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with the idea that Belichick helped his standing, but he's definitely not safe. That team has more to prove before he proves himself as a good investment for NC. If I was a UNC fan, the positive I take from Saturday is how physical they looked. It was a sloppy game, but they looked like they wanted to be there. And like Daniel Tosh said, I like your energy. Let's see how far it carries. I'm actually going to go with one name that isn't on the list, but man, that's on the hot seat nonetheless, is Derek Mason at Middle Tennessee State. They've gone 6-18 over his first two seasons in Murfreesboro.
Wow.
And according to everything that I gathered, the comments coming out of Murfreesboro is immediate tangible growth in conference play is a requirement or he's gone. So, you know, not to mention every one of those names on that graphic with the Scoville units, which was genius, by the way. But all those guys started out at a school like Middle Tennessee or lower than that. So I'd hate to see, you know, I'd hate to see it not work out for him at that level, because you know he wants to keep climbing. But it's like we saw with Brady Hoke at Michigan. Great guy, great coach, great leader, but his teams didn't win when they were supposed to win in the big games. And if you do enough of that at a big school, or if you play poorly in your conference enough at a smaller school, that's all they need to see before you know, it's a brutal business.
Yeah. And again, now with all the money that's attached to major college football, you got to make those business decisions sooner rather than later, because it helps with, like, if I fire a guy midseason and get a replacement identified, then that allows me to recruit with the new guy. Right. And set him up a little bit further for success, particularly when the transfer portal window opens. And so now I think you're going to see coach firings earlier in the season so they can get ahead of the portal. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
what a big NIL booster says, hey, man, if he's here next week, my money's gone.
Yeah. I mean,
now.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of to dovetail off of Joe's point, you got another guy that's kind of secretly waiting in the wings. And you guys know me. The Ducks never let me down. I am not a fan of Oregon by any stretch of the imagination. But Dan Lanning of Oregon is on that short list, right? Because he is basically becoming the new version of James Franklin in the Big Ten, right? He can win a lot of games, but he can't win the ones that matter. And he is a winner that doesn't win when it's required, right? So I think with all the money that Oregon has spent to get them playoff ready, and they haven't won a national championship yet, you know, you answer your own question. I think they'll give him another couple of years because, like, yeah, again, recruiting is hard. Like, but you're in Oregon and you have an endless pot of money. Like, that team probably has more money than Ohio State.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dano.
I might disagree with that. I mean, they were the best team in the country. What was it, 2 years ago?
They got that Phil Knight money.
Yeah. But
all right. But still, I mean, they had the best team in the country and then they got shellacked. So it's pretty hard to say. Did they win 11 games, 12 games? They won a shitload of games and just dog walked everybody until, you know, the wheels fell off.
Yeah.
So you play one bad game and now the coach is on the hot seat. Like, don't get me wrong. I see your point because money is money and they clearly had the talent that year, especially, but if one game gets you fired, that's crazy.
Yeah. I think his best chance to win was the year that Ohio State ran the gauntlet. Right.
Yeah.
And if that is what is, you know, that what trips him up and causes his downfall. I mean, unfortunately, it's major college football, man. That's the biz, right?
Like, if he coaches at Oregon for another 15 years, how do you feel about seeing his face that often?
It's very punchable, so I'm okay.
I'm going to say something about his face. I have to.
Yeah, but the reality of it is it's like he is quickly falling into that category of a guy that can't win the big game, right? He's winning in-season matchup, he's winning ranked matchups, but if you can't get deep into the playoff, like, he didn't even make it to the semis, right? If you can't make it to the semis, then your fan base is going to be like, hey, like, why are we spending all this money on players if the coach can't get them there? And I think that's indicative of a lot of the you know, the SEC and the Big Ten for sure, you know. The Big 12 is right behind them with the amount of money that they're spending. So eventually you're going to get to the point where, you know, the money is going to become the driver, not so much the wins and losses, which is unfortunate, but I think that them's the breaks.
I mean, are we not there already?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think we are for sure. But speaking of people that will do smart things with your money, if you invest with them, let's give it over to Dan to talk about Craig. Thanks.
Friends, if you have listened to this show before, you know that we are sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is area sales rep for the Money Store, where he is a mortgage broker. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country because he offers you super competitive rates, gives you the best deal that he possibly can, and because he is a guy that you can reach on the phone when you have problems or even just questions about the mortgage process. And I don't know if you guys have bought a house, but getting a house is a confusing freaking thing. And getting a mortgage is one of the more confusing processes because you've got interest rates moving all over the place. You got to appraise your house and make sure that it appraises for the value that you're paying. There's just all this stuff that goes on that make you sign 3 inches worth of paperwork. No lie, 3 inches. And it's just not the time to deal with some clown that wants to make a buck off you, right? You want to deal with somebody who cares, like not a call center, a random big box bank, mindless website. Like deal with somebody who... If you have a question, you can pick up the phone and ask them your question. And as we've said before, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Azure Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Like, save yourself $1,300. So, Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. His link's on our website. Just go to astrofootball.com. All of our sponsors have these little business cards. You just click on there. You'll be talking to Jocelyn. You'll be talking to Craig. You'll be talking to Greg. Anybody that you want to talk to, just you can find that right on astrofootball.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Dano. Yeah, so let's move on. Hey, we're at week one, finally. So we're going to do Around the American, and then we will dive into the rest of the schedule. So, American Conference games. So you got UAB at Illinois. You've got Rhode Island at Temple, the Citadel at Charlotte, UT Rio Grande Valley at UTSA. That's a mouthful, so three times fast. You've got Oklahoma State at Tulsa. That should be an interesting game. I think that one's probably the more interesting matchup, even though, you know, I've got a funny joke that I'll tell you guys here in a minute. You got Houston Christian at Rice, Arkansas State at Memphis, Florida International at South Florida. I think that's another in conference matchup that should be pretty good.
No. FIU is USA.
I'm sorry. Yeah, FIU in South Florida, and then Florida Atlantic at Florida. So FAU has a chance to jump out early on a rival. We'll see if that can happen. But the American game of the week to watch is two former conference championships defending, taking on each other. So you got Tulane against Duke. And, like, I don't even know how – like, I think that's funny. I think that the catastrophe of it all was the fact that Duke somehow made it into the conference championship.
Yeah.
You know, with that weird, wonky stuff, they got to fix those tiebreakers or whatever it is in the ACC because that's a bad look, right? It really is. But the reality of it is that game will kick at 3:30 on Saturday. You got Duke. Wow, they're favored by 9.5. The over-under is 50. I think that'll be an interesting game to watch. I mean, Tulane, we'll see what type of team Tulane puts out on the field this year.
I badly wanted to pick that game this week, but I just don't have any feel at all for what Tulane's going to do. So,
yeah, I think Tulane has had way too much turnover in the offseason to really kind of gauge what the team is going to look like. So moving on to the top 25 games, like, of course, like, we're serving cupcakes in week one. So you've got Arkansas Pine Bluff at Missouri. You've got Idaho taking on Utah. That's on Thursday night, so be ready. We got games on Thursday, and I think they run all the way to Sunday because of Labor Day weekend. Yeah. Friday, you've got UTEP against Oklahoma. That one's going to be a rough one, man. I mean, Oklahoma's favorite by 41.5 going into that game. Good luck, UTEP. Like, just don't get your guys hurt. You've got a season of football to continue to play, and you got Michigan. That's going to be a rough month of September for these guys.
Nice up, boys.
Yeah, you've got Miami at Stanford. Miami's favored by 24.5 in that game. Fresno State is taking on what's tied for number 14, USC. Like, you know, again, that would be an interesting game. I would say take until USC shows me something different, take their opponent to cover whatever the spread is. Because I think, you know, it's 24.5. I don't think that their offense is that potent. We'll see what happens. But USC did not look good this weekend, and I don't think it's going to get much better for them. Moving on to Saturday, you've got Oregon State at Houston. That should be an interesting game. That's number 20. That's Oregon State unranked versus number 23 Houston. East Carolina at Alabama. Do we think the Pirates can sneak one in because, again, Kalen DeBoer is not the same coach as Nick Saban. And East Carolina is a pretty decent rushing defensive team, so they might be able to, you know, contain the quarterback and at least keep it close for two quarters.
I would like to say I don't think so. Maybe Alabama doesn't cover because who cares? You know, if they win by 26 or 29, nobody cares. But I don't know about that one. We'll see.
Yeah, I think East Carolina will show up for the first half. I mean, they typically do.
Sure.
You know, as mentioned before, you got North Texas at Indiana. Hey, that's another one that's like, we don't know what North Texas looks like because of all the turnover. So we'll see, like, if they hit that line of 40 and a half with Indiana, then we know that North Texas is in trouble this season. You got Ball State against Ohio State.
Ouch.
That's a cupcake game if I ever heard of one. Tennessee State against number 3 Georgia. The line is 46 and a half. Boise State at Oregon.
There's another cupcake right behind it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you got Boise State at Oregon. That's number 2. Texas State against Texas. That's going to be a tough game. So you got a Mountain West game. I'm still scratching my head about that one. Furman against Tennessee. Tennessee's favorite, 46.5. Marshall against Penn State. That actually might be a good game because, again, we don't know what Penn State looks like. Marshall usually plays people tough, but there's no guarantees there. Northern Illinois at Iowa is kicking at 4:15. And finally, the late game slate for Saturday, you've got Missouri State at Texas A&M. You've got Abilene Christian at Texas Tech, Western Michigan at Michigan.
That's an interesting game. Western Michigan's supposed to be really good this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to that one.
Yeah, I think that one will be a good game to watch. Clemson at LSU, you got the Battle of the Tigers. That one should be a pretty decent game to watch, and that's one of my picks this week, so we'll dive into it a little bit later. Utah Tech against BYU. And then on Sunday, because of the holiday, you've got the Apple Cup is in week 1, which is
what?
Yeah, that's awful for a rivalry game.
Gross.
I mean, welcome to major college football. Unfortunately, that's part of the change, right? Let's see. You got Wisconsin Notre Dame, as previously mentioned, and I think the biggest matchup of the week is ranked on ranked is number 24, Louisville versus Ole Miss, as mentioned before. Talk upset alert this week really quickly. So the teams that are on upset alert, SMU at Florida State. I think SMU has a pretty good chance of bumping off the Seminoles in that one. Again, Ole Miss and Louisville, as previously mentioned, and then Clemson against LSU. I think, you know, it's going to be tough because they got to travel to Death Valley, but Dabo, he needs to make a statement, right? Mm. And if the Clemson Tigers don't win, then LSU is going to have all the talking points. But, you know, and I'll go into my logic about that game when we get into our weekly locks. But 3 FCS games, we're doing this for Omar. So you got Tarleton State at Bowling Green. They're playing an FCS opponent going into week 1. You got South Dakota State at Northwestern. Again, FCS opponent. And then Youngstown State in Kentucky. Keep an eye on that one because I watched Youngstown State last week. They look really good.
Yeah.
Like they look like sweater vest Jim Tressel good Youngstown State. Like
about the only show in town. They take their football seriously out there.
Yeah, very, very, very much a throwback, but I think that one will be a good game. Now we're going to move on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Time for locks and leans, folks. So we'll start with Dano, over to Joe, and then I will wrap it up.
I went 2-1. I'm just off the podium right now in the picks league. I'm sitting in fourth, so those bonus points really hurt me. But I'll take it. Stupid picking the over in a week 0 game. I know better than that. I don't know what I was doing. Anyway, not going to happen again. Not on my watch. I'll take Duquesne at Air Force under 57.5. What an absurd line that is. 57.5 points in week 1. Neither of these teams has played. I mean, I understand Air Force's defense is supposed to be garbage, but oh my God. Anyway, we'll see. Rhode Island at Temple minus 10.5. Take Temple to cover that. I think that the Owls are much better than that. They're not getting any respect because nobody watches Temple, which I do understand, but that team is not bad. And Arkansas State at Memphis under 52.5. This is me not making the same mistake twice. Memphis's defensive line and just their defense generally, they look legit. I'm a little concerned about Army play in Memphis right now.
Yeah, that is a true statement. They look pretty tough. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, got things started off with a win going 2-1. Thank you, North Dakota State and Eastern Michigan. Now that we got the appetizer out of the way, after week zero. We've got a main course of games to pick, and Dano still won't give me a fourth. So I picked three again. My number one that I feel really comfortable with, man, give me Georgia Tech minus 6.5 at home versus Colorado. This one feels like a style clash offensively, and to be honest, it feels like an even bigger mismatch. I think the Coach Prime factor is actually affecting the line here. This team went 3-9 last year going into Bobby Dodd Stadium against the Georgia Tech team that's going to introduce them to Smash Mouth football. Like I said, I feel like it's going to be a mismatch up front. Georgia Tech's going to win convincing 31-7, giving Georgia Tech 31-17 on the back of a big game by Justice Haynes. This is going to sound like I copied off Dano's homework again, but give me Memphis minus 10 against or Arkansas State. After getting a glimpse of that defensive front against UNLV and watching them go on the road to win 27-21 against a team that I feel is got the horses that could beat an Arkansas State team, this is also a spread that I don't understand, but I've got Memphis winning 31-10. And pick three, I've been on this for 2 weeks now. Give me Stanford plus 24.5 versus Miami. I was on the pick before they beat Miami or beat Hawaii. Having seen Stanford clearly have the ability to score with Micah Ford going for 100 yards and 3 touchdowns and Davis Warren throwing the ball for 300. And then they have the advantage of having their second home game in a row before Miami gets to play a game and travel all the way from Miami to Stanford, California. That is a factor.
That's tough. That's true.
For those reasons, I think Miami goes into the half in a very close football game. I do believe the Hurricanes pull away because they have the horses late, but it's not enough to cover. Give me Miami 42-24.
All right. Thanks, Joe. So Omar dropped his picks into the outline, so I'm going to run through them real quick. So he has his first pick is VMI plus 54.5 at Virginia Tech. He's like, that means Virginia Tech has to score 9 times. I don't think that's happening. I think that's a safe. That's a pretty safe. That's free money right there. You've got Air Force minus 28.5 against Duquesne. I think that line is a really bad mismatch. Like we just don't know what Air Force looks like. And isn't the QB one for Air Force coming off a broken arm too?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he broke it in like game 8 last year.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a factor.
Yeah.
But my man has to stay healthy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But he's back.
Yeah.
And that offense is supposed to look good. That defensive line is the real question mark.
Yeah, for sure. And then his note says NDSU to cover 38.5 against Fordham. He's like, he loves the Patriot League, but I don't know why this line is so low, especially after North Dakota State just didn't beat Jacksonville straight. That just beat Jacksonville State that won 2 straight conference titles and or went to 2 straight conference title games in Conference USA.
He's right. It's pretty, they look very good doing it.
Yeah. It's a pretty generous line, I would think. Again, so I went 1-2 this week. TCU was abysmal, and I'm not going to comment any more about that. And San Diego State had just enough offense to make USC look bad, and I'll take a loss if Lincoln Riley gets fired. So I'm okay with that. But this week, take Duquesne to cover 28.5 against Air Force. I think that's just a reasonable. I think they're going to sneak in. And even if it's in garbage time, they'll cover. Take Baylor to cover 7.5 at against Auburn. They're playing at Auburn, so Jordan-Hare Stadium is a dangerous place to play on most occasions. Like most of the big-time upsets in the Iron Bowl happen when Auburn is at home. But I think Baylor has something to prove. I won't call the upset just yet, but I will definitely say cover. They'll probably win. They'll cover 7.5 for sure. I'm taking this straight out, so I'm calling called upset today. South Carolina Tigers over the Bayou Bengals. I think
just on the money line, right? That's this money line bet.
No, this is straight up called upset. I am calling it upset because I think
Clemson, that's what I'm saying. You're calling for Clemson to win outright, not Clemson plus the points. Okay.
Yeah, Clemson outright win. And the reason why I say that is because I think Dabo's gonna have the guys ready to go. He's on a mission this season. He's got to get back to the playoff for sure. How do you set the tone? You beat the team that spent the most money in the offseason and has had the most controversy. And I think that's the real reason why they're going to is because LSU is completely distracted right now. You're prepping for football games. You're doing all the stuff that you need to do to prepare. But is your coach's head in the game when you're too busy trying to, swindle the rest of the country and pull NFL players onto your team? They're distracted. I think their preparation is going to be, a little bit off because you don't know if we play these guys, is there going to be an injunction? Are we going to get punished? Are we going to put this dude in the game in the hopes that the game gets forfeited because we're playing with a professional athlete? There's too many questions there. So there's they put holes in their own plan before the season has even gotten started. So I think, you know, unless something breaks between now and Friday night, I think Clemson is in the driver's seat as far as that game is concerned. But those are my picks. So I've got Duquesne cover 28.5, Baylor cover 7.5, and upset of LSU by the Clemson Tigers. And we have one last read. Dan, if you don't mind, could you take that?
Yes. Yes, I will. Friends, there is a reason that you do not need another workout. You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, who more importantly has survived total physical and mental collapse himself, pulled himself out of the fire, and rebuilt himself stronger and better than ever. Greg Iannacelli is a West Point graduate, class of 1997, Army veteran, successful software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. Sorry about that. At 50, he became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the Masters in Las Vegas, earned his IFBB pro card. He proved it was never too late to become the warrior you were meant to be. Guys, he won the natty. Now his mission is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos identity, apply at warriorsphysiquefitness.com, or as we've said, he also has a card on our website, and start writing your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg is offering all active military veterans and first responders a 15% discount off his 16-week program fee. AFF First Club members and or West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on that same 16-week fee. Too easy. Go to astrofootball.com. Click on Greg's business card. You'll be talking to him in a couple of days. Get yourself back in your prime.
Yeah. Thanks, Dano. Hey, so we're at the end of the show. We are done. Week one is on the, well, we're done in the books. Week one will be wrapped up at the end of this Saturday. I think it'll be an interesting slate of games. I don't like some of the top 25 teams taking the you know, the money games for other schools. That's like a charitable donation. Just cut them a check. I mean, it's, you know, and I say that because it's like now it's all about competition, right? And I think, you know, And Joe and I were talking about it earlier today. From a competitive standpoint, I completely understand what Lane Kiffin is doing in LSU, right? Completely understand from a competitive standpoint. However, the execution is flawed, right? And I think two things can be true at the same time, right? You want to win, but you're also going to do everything that you can. But it's not a good look for college football.
The whole idea that, well, there aren't any rules, so I can just do whatever is not my favorite thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what makes it so difficult, because as football fans, like, yeah, I want to see my team do the best that they can, right? But in order to do the best that they can, I want them to do it in practice, in the weight room, in the off season, developing the tools that they need to have, and not just reach out and grab some professional level athlete and throw them on the field. But, you know, we're closer to college football purists than some people. But
I mean, this is why we try to cover the service academies as if they're as important as anybody else, because they are to us. And that's a specific way of looking at college football. No excuses for that. That's what the show is.
Yeah. That's why we cover those guys. We're doing the analysis for that. Nice. Great quote, Ray. We appreciate that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, for sure. That's 100%. You know, and if you don't want, anyway, thanks for checking us out here at the Astro Football College Football Roundtable. I'm your host, Rob the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe is from the home of the Big House. College football is back in full swing this Saturday. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. You know, it's the unofficial start of fall, for lack of a better term. Throw some meat on the grill. Enjoy your weekend. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Astro Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.